Welcome to Living Above the Drama. I'm your host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio, and today my guest is Roger Nygaard, a Hollywood director, producer, editor, and writer. Roger is probably best known to his audiences for the highly successful and acclaimed documentary Trekkies about the most obsessive fans in the universe. Roger has made several award-winning films, including the comedy High Strung with Jim Carrey, Suckers with Daniel Benzali, and the documentary about UFO fanatic 6 Days in Roswell. His latest project is the documentary The Truth About Marriage, which is to be released on February 14th, Valentine's Day. Roger has edited feature films, including the Ben Affleck comedy Man About Town and the Kevin Costner drama Black or White. For television, he has directed NBC's The Office, Fox's The Bernie Mac Show, and Disney's XD's Zeke and Luther. His TV work as an editor includes FX's The League, ABC's Grey's Anatomy. His Showtime's Emmy nomination was received for Who is America, and ACE and Emmy-nominated episodes of HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm and VEEP or Veep. Roger, I'm so excited to have you on the show. It was such fun talking with you the other day. It was great. I got to talk to you for about 2 hours.
Hello, it's good to talk to you.
Yes, yes. Well, you have an exciting and very, very popular topic for our audience today. And I find it absolutely fascinating that when you described how you do your projects and how you do the work that you do, is you kind of do all this wonderful kind of commercial work with the networks and, you know, with the movies and all of this other stuff. But your real passion is to do documentaries about things that you are like very focused on. And this project that is being released on Valentine's Day was something that you did for you. So tell us all about the documentary, The Truth About Marriage, and how you jumped into that, because it's quite a story.
Well, thanks. Yeah. Well, I get obsessed with a topic. You're absolutely right. And it becomes almost like therapy for me to solve the mystery. Why am I such a failure with relationships? Why can't I get to the altar? Why I've never been married, and I've gotten close 3 times, and it didn't work out. And I started to think, is it me? What's wrong with me? So I got a stack of books, I don't know, 5 or 6 feet tall probably, and started reading what all the experts wrote, and then took my cameras and set out to interview these experts and solve the mystery of why is marriage and why are relationships so hard for people?
Okay, well that's a good thing to solve, I think, because it's really, really, really popular. So, okay, here you are, and I absolutely admire how candid you are with us about, you know, your own personal life and your own personal exploration. Here you are, this attractive, relatively young man who has made 3 attempts to get married and have a, you know, the dream relationship that we all think about, and it hasn't worked. So, needless to say, you have some skin in the game. Okay. So, what did you discover? How did you start on your quest, and what did you discover?
Well, if my first step was to try to find out what's the problem, why are we having this problem? 50% of marriages end, as we all know. That's the roughly the statistic, and the other 50%. That we consider a success, that because they last forever or as long as the couple are alive, is those relationships take a lot of work. They're hard to keep going. You can't, as Dr. John Gottman said, one of the experts I interviewed, if you ignore a relationship or you don't actively work on it, it automatically and naturally deteriorates. So that's one of the first things I learned, is you can't take a relationship for granted. And they teach, these experts that I spoke with, 15 psychologists and a divorce lawyer and relationship experts and matchmakers and anthropologists, etc., that one thing you need to do is express gratitude daily. And we don't do it. We forget. We take people for granted. And it adds up over time. We have to make a conscious effort. We don't. We don't make that conscious effort. There's a term called habituation, where we fall into this pattern where we get comfortable and we start to take it for granted and we don't nurture it. And it slowly slips away until one day it's too far to pull it back again. Mm. And that's one of the first things I discovered.
Okay, what may I ask, and you don't have to, you know, share too much, but were you able to relate that back to your three tries at a more permanent relationship? Could you see the correlation in your
Absolutely.
Own relationship? And so did this give you a certain kind of insight to maybe not do it again? I mean, I assume that you are going to, when the time is right and the right match comes along, that you're going to give this another shot. So
yeah.
Is this something you're going to be able to take away and put back into your upcoming relationship? I want to be very positive about this.
Yes, well, I intend to. I mean, it's that, you know, if I knew then what I know now kind of thing. It's weird that in our society, our culture, I think pretty much all cultures, they don't teach you how to have a relationship in high school. They teach you math, science, reading, gym class. But probably, if not one of the most important things, arguably maybe the most important thing you're going to experience in your lifetime is a relationship with somebody.
Yes,
and they
yes.
give you no tools, no clues. And you have to go out into life and figure it out on your own. We all make the same mistakes through trial and error and leave a wake of damaged relationships behind us. And going forward, for me personally, I want to do better. And I discovered, and when I made my documentary and wrote the book that goes along with it, The Truth About Marriage, my goal was to, yes, find out why we're having such a problem, but also try to lay out very simple, easy to do steps that we can take that will change the trajectory of any relationship or marriage for the better.
And you know, after we talked, I was thinking, because I shared with you, relationships is something that I've been involved with, doing research and writing, you know, for many decades. I've written a book about relationship communication called Changing Behavior. And we do know without question that relationships are really the number one imperative in all of our lives. Sometimes we don't know that until after we've made the money, you know, and bought the house and have the car that we wanted. And then we realize none of that makes me happy. What's going on for me is I really need to learn to do relationships. But what you and I talked about, which is true, we don't come with an owner's manual. Nobody tells us about relationships. Nobody says that. And yes, and it's so brilliant what you're doing, because wouldn't it be great if, and I hope that you do, that you could develop a curriculum that could literally be taught in schools. So that
I love your term, an owner's manual. That's a great. It's like an owner's manual for relationships. That's
exactly,
wonderful.
Exactly. And wouldn't it be wonderful if you could do that and put it out there and people could say, oh, there's an owner's manual on how to do relationships, you know, relationships for dummies. I hate that title, but it's kind of like a relationship for dummies thing, you know. Well, we're all dummies when it comes to relationships, right?
Oh, so, I was a dummy. I still feel kind of dumb in because I'm continuing to learn. But yeah, my book is essentially that in as briefly put manner as possible. Here are some things that they didn't tell you that they should have told you, that we should have told you. And it's really not your fault that you didn't know this, because you're not going to pick this up without a little help. And one of the psychologists, Dr. Friel, one of the interviewees in my documentary, he said that typically when a couple comes to him for help, it's like going to the doctor 6 years after you break your leg and saying, can you fix my leg? And it's a little hard. If you could go in right when you have the problem, you're going to have a much better outcome.
No kidding. Yeah. I like what you said about we take things for granted. And you know, the reason I find it interesting, that's kind of the objective. Oh, I want to fall in love. I want to be madly in love. I want to get married, or I want to have a relationship or whatever. And then I want to get real comfortable. You know, I want to get real comfortable. I want to hanker down And I want to check that off my bucket list. You know, I want to put a check mark next to that so that I can go and, you know, enjoy my life. I think that is such, well, I don't know about overseas, but I think that is such an American approach to relationships, you know.
Yeah, it's a consumeristic approach. It's like consumerism.
Oh, that is absolutely, absolutely perfect, what you just said, Roger. Yes, it's consumerism. And rather than looking at it like walking around the circle, because you very eloquently, and it was delightful to have a conversation with a man about this, you very eloquently talked about, you know, the deeper substance and, if you will, the spirituality of relationships, because it's a commitment and it's a lot of hard work. So tell us some more. You did all kinds of things. You came to anthropological.
Let me add one thought to that too. It's like this consumerism point, which is fascinating. It's like acquiring love on your bucket list. I want to be in love. It's like acquiring a plant. I've always wanted to have this orchid. It's like buying that plant and putting it in the closet. It's not gonna flourish. You know you have an orchid. You have to take care of it. It needs a certain amount of daylight, a certain amount of water, a certain amount of attention, nutrients, and a relationship is the same. You have to give it daily attention.
Exactly. It absolutely true. And you know, I think women are a little bit more onto that than men are.
Yes.
I don't know, but I think so. And yet, I think a lot of women aren't even onto it anymore either. I think it's kind of like,
it's human nature. Yeah, it's human nature we're not naturally equipped to give a relationship what it needs. And that's why we need a little help when we end up in counseling, when we've discovered we haven't been doing so. And so I want to help people early in their relationship, set a better trajectory that doesn't send you to the psychiatrist or the psychologist 6 years after you've broken your relationship.
Yeah, I think that's a very exciting and important thing that we need to be focusing on. Now,
and it's easy. It's really simple. The things you can do are so simple. That's what I discovered. It's not, we think it's, oh, there's a big, big complex answer in the sky. No, you know what? It's very simple. And like one, as I mentioned, one is just express gratitude daily.
Right. You just have to care. Right. I mean,
yeah.
If you care about your car, if you care about your dog, if you care about your job, there are certain things that you know you need to do to sustain that quality or that relationship. And so I can't wait to drill
thank
down.
Thank you. It's like just saying thank you, saying thank you for taking care. If it was the car, taking care of the car, honey, I really value what you bring to our relationship. Some version of that. Every day, it may be, even if it doesn't matter if it sounds corny, it needs to be expressed. So anyway, I think we've laid the pipe on the gratitude.
Absolutely. Now, anthropology.
Yes.
You were telling me 200,000-year culture things, which I think everybody will find totally fascinating. Do you want to jump in and talk about? You said we're doing relationships in a way that is unnatural to us as human beings.
Yeah, well, one of the things I learned in speaking to all these experts is that we're all doing relationships wrong. And so let's try to do it a little less wrong if we can. And part of the reason is if you look at what we all are expected to believe by our culture, by our society, parents, friends, neighbors, we are expected to achieve a certain level of behavior or to act or live in a certain way that's out of sync with who or what we are naturally. And so, of course, everyone's frustrated when we're not reaching this unreachable level, virtually unreachable level continuously, or our partner is not living up to this level of expectations. And so it's like resyncing your expectations. Now, why are we out of sync with our expectations for who we are? Well, human beings have existed for about 200,000 years, our species, Homo sapiens, and maybe 2 million years humans. But we consider traditional marriage to be this very recent phenomenon and kind of for some reason single out the 1950s and early 1960s as this era, this perfect era of traditional marriage. Some do anyway. But it's such a tiny slice that one decade out of 200,000 years, what we've been doing recently is very different from what we've been doing for 95% of human history. And the anthropologists explained this to me. If you look at what we were doing, we were living on the African savanna in a tribe, a small tribe of 150 or fewer, which is called Dunbar's number, 150. This was discovered by a British anthropologist and evolutionary psychologist who found out, who theorized that when humans lived in these nomadic hunter-gatherer bands of 150 or fewer, it's because our brains are designed to keep track of emotionally as up to 150 people. Beyond that, we can't do it. And so when you get a new friend, close friend, somebody gets bumped within your social group, overall social group. And when tribes got larger than 150, they would split into two tribes. You see this happening in corporations. When a division gets larger than 150, it splits into two divisions. It's the way we're innately designed. And so these tribes lived together. They shared everything. In order to survive, they had to. They shared food, shelter, raising of children. Arguably, they shared everything. Sex was not a proprietary thing. The way we consider sex very proprietary now, it was just a different way of necessity of survival at the time. That was normal and natural, and that's how we evolved. Our emotions that we have and feelings are what evolved to equip us to handle what happened on the African savanna for 190,000 years. And then what changed, around 6,000 to 10,000 years ago, human beings discovered agriculture. We stopped being nomads. We stayed in one place. We grew our own crops. And the idea of ownership occurred to us, which is what led to this consumerism mentality of today. And once they considered, this is mine, I own it, then the idea occurred, well, men, primarily in the head of the brains of men, I want to make sure that I'm passing my belongings on to my genetic offspring. And so this idea of marriage slowly over time became more formalized as a way to control the sexual behavior of women. Why is that? Because a woman knows it's her baby. I mean, it comes out of her. This is my, of course it's mine, right? And this old phrase, mama's baby, daddy's maybe, comes out of from the fact that men can't be 100% certain unless they've what is called in the wild mate guarding, where they keep an eye on their women 24/7. But when they had stopped being nomads and lived in one place and they were working the farm, men were out and away hunting and farming. They couldn't keep an eye on their wife all the time. And so marriage became this way of putting a social fence around the sexual behavior of women so that men could feel more comfortable that it was their genetic offspring, which wasn't how else were they going to do this? And that way they knew that, or at least they had reasonably certain it was their baby. And if you look at religious texts, when adultery is punished, the sin of adultery, the punishment is aimed at women primarily. It's a sin. It's more of a sin for a woman in the Bible than for a man who practices adultery. So here we are today. That's the problem, part of the problem anyway. Then once I determined that or learned that from the experts, then I turned to what do we do about it today?
Right. Well, I think a lot of people have never even really thought about the whole idea. I mean, you see it in the British monarchy and the laws in Great Britain, where real estate, that's the whole thing about, why is land and real estate and marriage, why is it all interconnected? Because people began getting married to protect their real estate, their property, their progeny, that whole process. But I don't think we give a lot of thought to that. We tend to think that it's always been the way it has been at this point. But when we look back, we realize why families are married off to each other, and it's business kind of business marriages and what have you. But here we are today, and at least in our culture, marriage and romance is, what is it, number two, number three in terms of, the focus of money making and event planning. I mean, it's a huge thing that goes, Harlequin romance novels, they outsell the Bible, I believe, at this point. Can you imagine that? Harlequin romance novels, chick lit, women's lit, which is, and I confess, I read it a lot. And when you read these novels or these books, what are they about? They're about these fantasy relationships. And so we're constantly being fed this unrealistic picture of what a relationship is. So you're going to tell us, though, now you are going to jump in there right now and tell us, what is it? What is the solution to understanding the needs of men and women? You were talking about how men need to kind of withdraw and then retreat and return. How are we going to shift our understanding of relationships and what men and women need, whether they're married or not? How do we reframe this whole subject?
Well, first you shine the lens on yourself, because you only have control over yourself. You don't have control over anyone else. I mean, you can try to manipulate people, and for a while that you might get some new behaviors, but there's going to be resentment. The better solution is to first acknowledge who and what you are as a species, as a being, as a person. Try to get realistic about the fact that you are responsible for your own happiness. If you rely on somebody else to make you happy, eventually they're going to make you unhappy. Because if they have the power to make you happy, they also have the power to make you unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
So the best goal is focus on working on yourself. If you work on your own self and your own reactivity, two things are going to happen. Your partner is going to be inspired to meet you up at your emotional level, or you'll see who they are and outgrow them. But no part of being in a healthy relationship involves trying to change or control the other person. You have to work on your own expectations and which comes back to acceptance, accepting yourself and accepting your partner. What the Gottmans told me, Dr. John Gottman and Julie Gottman, psychologists, is that nearly 70% of all relationship problems are never solved. They're just acknowledged, and then you move on. So once you first reach this point of acceptance, here's what the first thing you should do is, and this is primarily aimed at the men or the masculine partner, and it can be whether it's a gay couple, straight couple, or otherwise, there tends to be a masculine and a feminine energy. Two masculines don't work well together. Two feminines were designed in this yin and yang of relationships. They fit well together. And so the masculine, what we're really bad at, and I was horrible at this, and that's, I know this is true, we're terrible listeners. We've got to learn to listen better. And so the first practice is, I guess the second after expressing gratitude, let's call it the second practice, is learn how to listen actively. What a man should do is accept that his woman or the feminine needs from him every night 15 minutes of attention, where you actively come home, put away the cell phone, turn off the TV, make eye contact, and say, "Honey, how was your day? How are you feeling?" And then shut up. She doesn't want solutions. She doesn't want interjections. She just wants you to listen. She needs to cathartically offload, express the emotions that she has built up or felt during the day. It's like a vitamin that she needs that you need to provide for her. About 15 minutes, maybe it's 30 minutes some nights, maybe it's only 5 on another, but you give it to her until she's full, until she's satisfied. "Honey, how was your day? How are you feeling?" And the only thing you should say is, "Oh, that's terrible. Oh, that's great. I'm so happy for you. Wow, how did that happen?" No solutions, and then end with a hug. If you do that daily, you'll see a massive improvement. It's really, if I can just express one thing to the masculine, to men listening, try an experiment. Go home tonight, all this week, and give her 15 minutes of just shut up and listen. And see what happens, and you'll find everything about your relationship will improve. Now, the feminine, the women, they've got to understand and realize this is a precious resource that's being offered to them, and they should not take advantage of it. Don't expect more than 15 minutes. 15 minutes is the right amount, 20 minutes, whatever. But if you expect more than that, I mean, your man he's got a limited amount that he can actively give, and what women and the feminine should understand about men and accept about men, the counterpoint to this is a man is fighting this push and pull between wanting togetherness and also wanting freedom. This will never go away. This dynamic is always going to be there. So the man is going to oscillate. He's going to cycle between being close and then getting away. When he's close, he's going to think, "Oh, I need to get away." And when he's away, he's going to think, "Oh, I miss her so much. I need to get back to her."
I have to interrupt you for two reasons. One is I cannot believe I blew past the first commercial. I was going to have to take a break, Roger. This is so fascinating.
Right.
And the
more
other
secrets
thing,
to come.
What say?
More secrets to come.
Yeah, and the other thing is, when we come back from the break, we need to talk about the 15 minutes, and we need to just acknowledge that you are putting your finger on the major complaint women have about men, that they don't listen, okay? So we're
going to
take
terrible.
A short We're going to take a short. No, you're not terrible. We're going to take a short break. Don't go away, anybody. We'll be right back with more of Roger.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing Behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way. What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
And we are back. Today we have the pleasure of talking to Rajan Nygaard, who is a Hollywood director, producer, editor, and writer, and he has just put together his latest documentary project called The Truth About Marriage, which is going to be released on Valentine's Day this year. And Roger has been sharing all kinds of goodies with us. And before the break, he was talking about giving us some advice, especially about how to keep our relationship strong. And he said, men, give your women 15 minutes a day. And that is one of the biggest complaints that women have about men. Men don't listen. It's kind of a caricature of them being behind the newspaper, you know, and going, and not listening.
But yeah, if you love your woman and you want to keep her, you got to give her the 15 minutes. It's that simple.
Oh, that's a 15-minute rule. I absolutely love it. Now, let's talk about codependency, because I think one of the things, you know, we always talk about, you know, what goes on in relationships. Probably one of the biggest problems most of us have, and many of us don't even realize we have, is that we're codependent, meaning that we haven't fully developed and become self-sufficient, and we're unable to be interdependent. So we're looking to that other person to complete us or fulfill us or compensate for what we haven't done. And isn't that where a lot of the problems come from? Because women want more than 15 minutes, or the man wants all of your attention and may become, you know, possessive or, you know, not happy if you want to have, you know, a kind of a really good, robust social life that doesn't include him. So can you just talk a bit? I know this subject had to come up. Can you talk a bit about codependency?
Right. Yeah. Well, the feminine is naturally to bind closer together, and the masculine naturally seeks freedom. And both have to understand that about each other and that what they need. And so when women and the feminine understand that the masculine needs to orbit away occasionally, she needs to allow him to do so. But the masculine men, they need to not take advantage of that either. So what the best way to approach this is for when it's time to disconnect, but once a week, men need to disconnect. The man should announce his disconnection. Honey, I'm going fishing with my buddies for the weekend. I'll be back Sunday. I'm looking forward to having dinner with you. Within that, he's got to announce his reconnection. So the woman knows, the feminine knows he's leaving, and when he'll be back, she feels secure and valued. And when he does return at 7 p.m., as he promised, if it's 7:05, you got to call, because you have to keep your word. Your word is your reputation. And once you lose your reputation or you lose trust, it's much harder to build it back. So you need to protect that and work hard. Honey, I'm leaving. I'm going to go golfing. I'll be back at 8 p.m. tonight. I'm looking forward to have dinner with you tonight. Make sure that you do so. And if you don't, let her know. That way you're going to protect and prevent problems. And this is how codependency comes out of insecurity. If you can deal with by communicating your needs, then you're going to short circuit. You won't have the need to be so codependent, to grab on so tightly, because you'll be more secure in your relationship. And you won't worry so much about, is he going to not be home again? Well, he's always kept his word, or when he was late, he called. You have to value your partner's needs and understand them and accept them.
Yeah. I mean, so one of the important things, and I actually dated a guy who was a stickler. If he was going to be 10 minutes late, he'd call up. He'd say, I'm going to be 10 minutes late. If he made a promise that he was going to do something, he did it. And I think that that's really important stuff. And it's a wonderful thing to point out, you know, as far as, what are some of the things that we can learn? So, Roger, let's talk some more. Let's talk about monogamy, because you were talking about, you know, the enculturation of relationships and monogamy. And, you know, today, of course, polyamorous relationships are very popular. And that's kind of a throwback to the old days, isn't it?
It is a desire to return to tribe that some people are seeking out alternative relationships, such as polyamory.
Right. And I mean, I don't know where that's going to go, but it's certainly an interesting concept that is kind of a primal drive, you know, that both men and women very often want to have that stable relationship, but also want to be able to explore other things, unless, of course, you have children, and that really complicates it. You gave me a list, which was wonderful, about, things to do, things not to do. And one of the things that can mess up a relationship, which is fascinating, listen up to this, ladies, the chemistry and what the birth control pill can do.
Oh, yes. Oh,
this is a big discussion, so please jump in there and give us all you got, Roger, okay?
Well, there are some things to consider before marriage, and one of them is chemical. Part of the success for long-term relationships is that it was a good chemical match from the beginning. How do you know it's a good chemical match? Well, one of the problems of modern society is we have this technology called the birth control pill. And when a woman is taking birth control pills, her body thinks she's pregnant all the time. The pill makes the body think it's pregnant so she doesn't ovulate. When a woman is pregnant, she is attracted to a different type of man, different characteristics than when she's not pregnant. So first thing you should do is, if you're dating someone you're serious about, is date that person not on the birth control pills, so you know you're not tricking yourself. And that what happens sometimes is that people get married, she's been on birth control, they decide to have a child, she goes off birth control, and suddenly she can't stand the guy. And they attribute that to, well, we've fallen out of love, we're too tired, the kid's keeping us awake all the time. And they don't realize it's just that it's a chemical thing that's changed. So you want a good chemical match for longevity. That's very helpful. That's the first part. And how do you know? This is going on beneath your conscious awareness, right? A lot of things are.
What is so important is that we don't realize, women don't realize, this very important secret. Now, not everybody that goes off the pill or goes on the pill is going to have kind of a catastrophic reaction, but it's such an important thing to consider. So if you are going off the pill or are going on the pill and something significantly changes in the way you feel about your partner, what an important piece of information to know. And the one thing that I just want to contribute to that is that birth control pills, it's kind of like, if you will, for the non-pregnant woman, it's kind of like a castration in a sense, because your normal body chemistry is going to bring you in the right direction. Your normal body chemistry, your brain function, everything that's going on in the normal functioning female body is going to put us in the right direction. So being on the birth control pill is something to seriously consider, not just for physical health reasons, but also for the psychological component of it as well.
Yeah, what's going on there is that, and you can find this out, you know, when you kiss somebody, that's how you know if you have a chemical match. That's what kissing is for. You're tasting,
yeah.
You're smelling, you're feeling the pheromones, the chemicals, and your body is assessing whether your partner has a complementary immune system to yours. Because what your body wants, your genetics want you to be with a partner who has as diverse, as different of an immune system from you as possible. Because that gives the baby a more of a variety of immune system options to combine and choose from. If it's people with two very similar immune systems, after the kiss, you're going to go, I didn't feel anything. So that's what part of what passion is. It's this underlying assessment of complementary immune system.
Wow. You know, isn't that to me just blows me out of the water, because I come from a long line of thoroughbred Italians. And one of the jokes is that in Italian marriages and couples, the fighting, it's like a Fellini movie. They're always fighting, okay? It's a conflict and all this other stuff. And I wonder how much of it has to do with, you know, the similarity in the chemistry, number one. And number two, I have to share this with you if I haven't already. Did I tell you the story about I never wanted to have children? I was in school for 16 years, getting educated, mm-hmm. working my way through school. I didn't want to have kids. It wasn't something I thought about. Okay.
Yeah, that's what you thought you didn't want. Who knows? You don't really know what you want, right?
Yeah, right. Consciously, I did not want to do the baby thing, right? And I met this guy when I was in my late 30s, and we went out, we went on a couple of dates, and then we were getting ready to say goodbye after the third date or second date, whatever, and we're sitting by a parking meter, and he bends down to kiss me, and I'm not thinking too much of it, and after that kiss, I went, oh, and I looked at him and said, oh, I want to have your babies. And he said, I got to go. And he took off. Okay. But it was, I did marry him and we did have children. The irony is that it's exactly what you're saying. You know, I had, except when I was in high school, I had never kissed anybody I ever thought I would want to have their children. So, and I said to you, kissing is dangerous.
You know? Well, yeah. Your body it flips a switch and it compels you into a certain direction.
Yes. And isn't it true that sometimes we become obsessed with relationships because of chemistry? That a lot of times what we're interpreting as love or romance is really just this primal chemistry that's going on.
Yeah. And what do you do about it? Well, become aware of who and what you are and your partner, and you have an acceptance. And, you know, when you mentioned the polyamorous couples, I have a polyamorous couple that I profiled in my documentary and in the book to find out what is that about. And it turns out that they do very well. They tend to do well as couples because they're not monogamous or they're polyamorous. It's because in order to be polyamorous, it requires very open communication. That type of relationship cannot work without very open communication. Many typical relationships, people put on a mask because you behave the way you think your partner wants you to be because you want to be liked. And then that mask eventually slips or takes a lot of work and your communication is not open. After a while, you're afraid to be open because you didn't start out on an open footing. Polyamorous relationships must start out on a very open footing. And ideally, non-polyamorous, monogamous relationships that have longevity and a higher degree of happiness are more open with each other as well.
So communication, it always comes down to communication, doesn't it?
Yeah, and well, not just communicating like, you're making me mad, it's communicating who you are. And you have to ask for what you want. You can't expect someone to figure it out. You got to tell them. Men need to be told. Tell them. And it's better, men don't react well to ambush arguments. They react well to setting an appointment. If you have something you want to tell somebody, tell especially the feminine to the masculine, you should say, I really want to talk about this thing. I have an idea, a thought, a complaint, an emotional moment, or something I want to discuss. When is a good time? Let's set an appointment. Hopefully later today, or you know, tomorrow at the latest. And if he never gives you a time, you're not in a relationship. And a man's going to be much better, though, when he's had time to sort of prepare when it's coming up. His brain functions better when he's expecting the discussion, and it goes better when you have that discussion that is preset and planned. And if at that point, too, it's important to consider word choice. You should never use the word in a discussion about what you're upset about. Use the word you. Only use the word I. I really feel anxious when the house gets messy, and it makes me sad. Is there something, can you help me with that? It's going to go much better than, you're such a slob, you are terrible, you're always this way. You know, you're putting someone on the defensive. When you say, I'm really unhappy today, what can you do to help me? You know, or I'm really unhappy. And just stick with feelings, your own feelings, express your feelings, I, not you, which is more accusatory.
Absolutely. We are going to take another break before I blow by the commercial time again. But when we come back, let's talk about, you did say we have to ask for what we want and no one is a mind reader. And let's talk about, you know, kind of some of the basics that we forget, like you were talking about the I statement. There are some very basic things that we forget as human beings that we don't like or that we do like that we don't incorporate into our behavior. So we're going to take a short break. Don't go away, anybody. We will be back shortly with Roger and talking more about how relationships really work and getting tips from Roger about how we can make ours better.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way.
What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
We're talking to Roger Nygaard, who is very well known for his acclaimed documentary, very successful documentary called Trekkies, which is about the most obsessive fans in the universe. And maybe we can get him to talk about that too, just a little bit. But Roger, before the break, we were talking about some of the basic, you know, I mean, I know when we talk about it, it sounds like, oh yeah, you know, that's like 101, you know, relationships 101. And yet we don't get any reminders. We're not getting any kind of reflection by on television. This is something for you to maybe think about. You know, get something on television about how to do relationships. Maybe a you know, those fake reality shows. Do a fake reality show about what really goes into relationships.
Yeah, they don't like it when relationships go well. They like it when they go terribly.
Yes, yes. So, but you could use it as a great reflection on how to make it work. But the bottom line is, you gave us some really, you know, pretty nifty bullet points when we were talking. So let's go over those talking points. And I think the biggest one that I remember, because I've said this a million times, I'm not a mind reader. You know, I don't know what you want. You know, ask me what you want, because I don't know.
Yeah, so well, priorities. It's about priorities, right? What are your priorities in a relationship, and what are your partner's priorities? One of the things the experts told me when I was writing the book and making the documentary is that the couples that do well are ones that know the rules going in. Most people, they go in without really – they make assumptions. Typically, religious couples do better than non-religious couples in relationships and marriages because – not because necessarily that they're religious, but because their religious structures force them to have premarital counseling. They have to meet with the priest or the minister or the rabbi and talk about – find out if they're on the same page. How can you do that, right? In my book, at the end, I created what's called a personal priorities statement. And my suggestion is that couples numerically rank in order of importance how they feel about spouse, children, children from an earlier relationship, your spouse's children, your family, extended family, friends, your work, hobbies, sex, shopping, religion, saving, vacations, whatever. Give each one a numerical rank. Then you exchange your worksheet and then see how closely you match up. Then you discuss it, talk about it, and see if you can now create a mutual priority statement together where you are both in sync about, well, who's going to be more important, your spouse or your children. And typically we start off where the spouse is obviously the most important thing in the world to me is my spouse. Then a child is born. Well, who is more important now, the child or the spouse? Well, they're equally important. Well, it's not true. In reality, let's take an example. What do people switch? What are you more likely to switch, your spouse or your children?
Exactly.
Right? People, you don't switch children. Clearly, the child is the most important thing to you. And it makes sense biologically and evolutionarily because you're passing on your line, your legacy through your child. And you can get a new husband or a new wife, and people do it all the time. So as long as you realize, you both realize that, you know what, once a child is born, that's going to be our priority. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you both think even after a child is born, we're both going to continue to keep each other as our priority. What about children from an earlier marriage? Is there going to be a priority there? And what about saving versus spending? How do you both? Which one is more of a priority? Because let's say you don't have a lot of money, but you have good credit. That's an important asset. And if you have a partner who's good with spending and not good with saving, your credit can be harmed because you are taking on 50% of whatever your partner owns, and it could be debts. Are you willing to pay off your partner's debts, each other? Are you going to bail out each other's debts? These are all things that a personal priority statement will get you both onto the same page and give you a better chance at longevity in a relationship.
Well, I think that especially today, I think finances is such a focus, and priorities for what we want for ourselves is such a focus. You know, I'm an old timer. I've been around the block a few times, and you go back 40 years, 50 years when we were getting married back then. You know, it was really interesting because I think we did not have the autonomy. We did not have the options that we do today. So today it becomes more important to talk about these things because we've got a lot more options than we did, you know, back then. A lot of us, I mean, most of the people getting divorced are older people. Did you know that?
Yeah, there's a phenomenon called gray divorce. And it makes sense when you think about it. The children have left, and that which was the focus of staying together or being together was raising children. Once they've left, then a new equilibrium has to be reached. And at that point, sometimes one or the other, and typically it's the woman, looks at their finances, and it's they may probably at that point have enough resources that 50% of it would give either one enough freedom to do what they want. And they, you know, I think I want to do some different things here. And that's what happens.
Unfortunately, and I've spoken to so many people, and even from my own experience, you know, people think there's something better out there. They think there's something, you know, that they want to explore. I talk to more men and women who are really sad and are altered by ending a marriage that may have gotten stale. You know, they broke their leg 6 years ago and they didn't attend to it. But the people who stay together and who come back together towards each other, they're very happy.
And it's a much better choice, yeah, because you're just switching one set of problems for another, but you no longer have the shared experiences.
Not only that, I mean, I'm known for this, actually, in my practice. I always, always discourage people from getting divorced unless there's abuse, and always encourage them to try to take a different look at what they actually have. The grass is never greener out there unless you're dealing with a pathological situation. People are people. And I got to share this with you because this is a hoot. I say that after many years of practice, there are three things a woman can get from a man. If you get these three things, you got it all. Does he contribute to your, you know, does he contribute to your support? You know, I mean, is he making money and, you know, helping paying the bills? Is he a good role model or a good person towards your children, maybe together, your children from a previous marriage? Is he good with the children? Is he a good role model? And number three, is your physical relationship reasonably satisfying? If you get those three things, you got it all. And if you go out and find a new relationship, it might be exciting at the beginning, but it will ultimately come down to those three things with anybody. Before we end, and I cannot believe that the time has flown by, one of the things that you talked about, and I think this is profound, you said everybody is lying. Everybody is lying. Can you clarify
that? Yeah, well, that's something I read in the Four Agreements, that it's true. Everyone's lying to you because they're lying to themselves. And so they don't necessarily even know they're lying to you. You have to approach it that way. Unless you find a partner who is open and can be open about who they are. And they do that because they know who they are. They've done the work. You have to do the work. And once you find someone that you can be yourself with, that's the formula for your best life, is finding someone and sharing your life with someone. The ultimate moral to my story, my search for why is marriage so hard, what are we going to do about it, is that, you know what, life is better shared. You're better off with somebody than without. The sunset is more beautiful with somebody, sharing it with someone, than by yourself. That's why we work so hard, and you can have that. Just, you have to open up to examining yourself, and your partner will follow you, and you'll both be better for it.
Well, that is a perfect way to end this wonderful interview. I've loved every minute of it. But before we go away, Roger, tell everyone how they can get a hold of you. We didn't get to talk about Trekkies. We could have talked about just so many things. You're just such a fascinating, multifaceted person.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's talk about, and ladies, if you're out there listening, this guy's real cute. So, Roger.
Yeah.
Roger,
I'm still
talk
looking.
To what they?
I'm still looking, yeah. So, part of making my documentary was self-examination and solving this problem for myself, or trying to improve my future for my next relationship. The documentary is called The Truth About Marriage, and the book, the companion book, which is, you can pre-order on Amazon, The Truth About Marriage. Will be available on February 14th. And if you go to my website, The Truth About Marriage, you can find information there too.
That's wonderful. So if you're looking to get a hold of Roger for any reason, you can reach him through The Truth About Marriage. Roger, it has been just a pleasure. You're a delight. You listen so well. And some lucky lady doesn't even know. she's in for a treat. Thank you so much, Roger. And listeners,
you're welcome.
Please join us again next week for another exciting, interesting, and informational program here on Living Above the Drama.